Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. The Republican National Convention is in full swing here in Tampa. Party organizers faced a big challenge this week with the threat of Tropical Storm Isaac, which forced a delay in all the festivities. But soon after, the convention got going to officially nominate Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan as the GOP presidential ticket. The focus is on Tampa and the Republican Party of Florida, all wrapped up in trying to be gracious hosts to some 70,000 guests. On tonight's show, we'll go inside the war room of the Florida delegation headquarters, where you hear from Republican Party of Florida Chairman Lenny Curry, who's taken time out of his very busy schedule to chat about the highlights of the convention up until now. All right. Welcome to It's About Florida, Republican Party Chairman Lenny Curry. Where am I right now?
Well, it's good to be here with you. We're at Innisbrook, the hotel that the RNC assigned us to, and you're actually in the war room right now. This is the second official day of the convention. So the room is not that busy, but if you'd been in here 3 days ago, you'd have seen a lot of intensity in people that had no sleep.
So, the Innisbrook, it's been making a whole lot of news for not a good thing. Why is it so far away from the convention site?
We held our primary early against RNC rules, and so they penalized us. One of the penalties, they would say that they did not put us this far out as a result of our early primary. That's probably nonsense, but it doesn't matter. The resort here, the people of Innisbrook have treated us really well. It's been a great experience. The only thing painful is the bus ride in. It's a long ride for our delegates.
Yeah, and I saw, last night, even the four-hour wait, even almost being forgotten to take into the nomination process.
Yeah, the buses that the RNC orchestrated to take our delegates in last night showed up late, and then almost didn't show up. And then last night, some folks got in at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you that late last night, I was very close to sending out a tweet that said, first it was the hotels, then it was the guest passes. They took away our guest passes, and now it's the buses. But someone that was with me got the level-headed person said, "Don't. If you still want to send that tweet at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, send it. Don't send it now."
I didn't even think that the punishment would get so detailed to hold it against the delegates.
It's about the experience. And look, all of these states, the RNC chairman and the officers there have to answer to every state. That's their constituency, every state party. And I get it, but this is about electing Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. So if we had to do it again and they put me in a sleeping bag under the stars, that's fine.
Touching on another thing, we were both here when Marco Rubio and all the important speakers came by to speak to the Florida delegation. Yep. Interesting thing that happened during his speech. Did you figure out what happened when this unidentified group just started popping up and protesting, interrupting the breakfast?
I ran back then against someone who I believe behaved like a Democrat. Now, I'm not sure what he's doing nowadays, but I told you so.
Hey, Rubio, we the representatives of the working class demand that the GOP stop pouring themselves out to the big money interests that are raping this planet and trying to squeeze every last dime out of the working class.
Well, I guess he's not happy with the hotel assignment, but apparently he stumbled into the wrong convention. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we had some hecklers, and Senator Rubio, you saw, is just, he handled it really well. He was levity. He laughed it off. And it didn't really upset me. I mean, It showed, I think it showed an element of the Democratic Party that President Obama would probably be embarrassed to say that that's a constituency that he has. Someone tried to compare this to the 2010 elections. Said, well, if that upset you, did you see what happened in the 2010 midterms? Well, those were town hall meetings where constituents were coming out to see their congressmen and women and their senators. This was an organized Republican event on private property, and those people just acted with disrespect.
So what does it mean? All the attention is here on Florida. A lot of attention is here on you to put on this event and show a good face for the rest of the Republican Party about Florida.
Well, it's part of this is will energize Republicans around the state, but it's also a message, most importantly, to independents and undecided voters. They can be frustrated Democrats or maybe even Republicans that don't vote in every election. And we hope that our goal is to come away with this from this convention where voters see a side of Mitt Romney that is the father, that is the husband, that is the compassionate person that people that know him well know him to be. We know he's a successful businessman, and this country we've got almost $16 trillion in debt. We know he can fix that based on his business background. But we just want to show people Mitt Romney the man.
We're going to be playing back some of the sound bites from the speech. What did you make of Ann Romney's speech?
Well, Ann Romney showed obviously that they go way back. You know that there were, what I got out of Ann Romney's speech was the reason it resonated was you could tell it wasn't this scripted, make-believe image they were trying to put forth. I was walking on the convention floor as she was wrapping up her speech, and I saw their kids sitting up watching the speech. I mean, I was almost as close as we are, and I saw the tears in one of their son's eyes. I mean, this is a real family story. This isn't just a made-for-political theater, and I think that connected with those watching.
It's the moms who have always had to work a little harder to make everything right. It's the moms of this nation, single, married, widowed, who really hold this country together. We're the mothers. We're the wives. We're the grandmothers. We're the big sisters. We're the little sisters, and we are the daughters. You know it's true, don't you? I love you, women!
She was making an effort, it seemed like, to reach out to show how inclusive Mitt really is. And she said she loves women. Everybody loves women. What's the role about, like, you know, embracing women's issues when it comes to stuff like abortion?
Right. Well, a couple things. The Democrats have tried to claim that there's this war on women, which is nonsense. Folks have brought up and will be bringing up the Republican platform, and platforms matter. Parties have to have a base to start from, and there's a committee that puts that together. But platforms don't represent the entire electorate of a party. And this election will be about Mitt Romney's ideas and his plan and what he believes. And they're not always in 100% agreement with the platform, and that's okay. We're a diverse party. The issues facing us today are the economy, the spending, and the entitlements, and we need to focus on fixing those issues. And then I think most people would agree that we can fight these other battles and wars in the years ahead.
What's in the arsenal to fight against this claim that you guys have a war on women?
We're not an extreme party. I mean, we have I don't agree with the premise. There's no war on women. I mean, the comments from the Senate candidate that he made about rape and abortion. I mean, the Republican Party unanimously rejected that and has called for him to leave the race, and still believe he needs to go.
And you have a whole lot of representation. Pam Bondi, she was standing out there saying that how this is an inclusive party.
And I am sick and tired of hearing that Mitt Romney is anti-women by the Republican Party. I mean, the Democrat Party. It is ridiculous. He is so pro-women. And first of all, his lieutenant governor, who's wonderful, was a woman. His chief of staff was a woman. He's put women in the highest places in his corporations. And he is in such support of what we do as women, and we can totally count on Mitt Romney. And that's what every woman in this audience has to do today. You have to spread the word. What the Democrats are trying to do, they're trying to create distractions.
Well, you take Pam Bondi and Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll. It's great that they're women. They're a face for the party's women, but they're there because they're capable, because they're competent, because they communicate, because they get their job done. Not because she's not attorney general, because she's a woman. Jennifer Carroll is not lieutenant governor because she's an African-American woman. They're both in their positions because they're effective. So that shows that the Republican Party will embrace anybody from any background, as long as they're capable and competent. And I think that's what American people want to know.
But it's fallen far behind when it comes to attracting African-Americans to the party. What's being done at the state level to help in that effort?
It's going into the communities, different communities, and having a conversation with individuals and not just doing it in an election year. I can tell you that after the election in 2008, before I was state party chairman, I was county chairman in Duval County in Jacksonville. And right after the 08 elections, we began, I don't want to call it outreach because there wasn't an election year. We went into parts of Jacksonville that are African American. Jennifer Carroll went with me, and we talked to not only pastors, but just folks in neighborhoods. And they were surprised. They were surprised that we were there when we were 4 years out from an election. Now, we're going to have to continue that. This isn't going to be an overnight thing. We're going to have to attract African American voters. It doesn't look like in this election we'll get large percentages. But if we're willing to invest the time and spend the time in off-election years, just getting to know people, African-Americans want the same thing all Americans want. They want a job, but not just a job. They want opportunity, right? They want to know that if they dream big dreams, they can pursue those dreams, and no one's going to hold them back because they're African-Americans or because of where they came from. And that's the message we need to communicate in an off-election year.
Why isn't it getting out there?
I think part of it is difficult getting our message out in the media. I mean, that's why I appreciate you having this conversation. I didn't see the news last night because I was in the convention center, but some of the reports that I read were that one of the networks completely shut off the programming of minority speakers at the convention hall last night. And so part of it, we're fighting that battle for whatever reason, but that's not an excuse. You know, Ronald Reagan had a battle with the media, and Ronald Reagan found a way to get his message out. He used the bully pulpit. So those of us that are in leadership are going to have to stop making excuses and figure out how to get the message out.
And keep going on these social issues. Gay rights. How do you feel on that platform and on that issue?
Well, you know, Governor Romney, I'm going to defer to his messaging in the direction that he goes. Obviously, that he has proclaimed that marriage is between a man and a woman. But this election, let's talk about this election. This is about the economy. This is about debt. This is about spending. I don't think Mitt Romney wakes up in the morning. I don't think homosexuals wake up in the morning right now thinking – I don't think the first thought in their mind is gay marriage or civil unions. Yes, it matters to them. I understand that because it's about a right to live their life, to live their life freely. But I think right now at this moment in time and this moment in history, it's about fixing our economy and ensuring that we don't fall off the debt cliff, which then all bets are off. Then there are no debates to have. Let's fix this and then fight these battles after we fix this and nail this down.
How can Mitt, we're seeing that the debt clock is rolling,
yeah,
clicking as we speak. What do you know that Mitt can do to fix the problem?
Well, he's had success in business. He's been attacked for being a private equity guy at Bain Capital, and private equity is a good thing, and we need to be out there saying that aggressively. Private equity goes in and identifies companies that are on the verge of bankruptcy, where people will ultimately lose their job, and turns those companies around. Many of these companies are highly leveraged and have debt that they can't. That's why they're on the verge of bankruptcy. He's got the background and the experience. If you were interviewing Mitt Romney for a corporate position that had $15 trillion in debt in a turnaround situation, you would hire Mitt Romney as the CEO.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Republican Party of Florida Chairman Lenny Curry at the party's national convention here in Tampa. Florida is a must-win state. Do you think he'll be able to get it?
He has to get Florida. Without Florida, Mitt Romney doesn't win the White House. It's going to be close. I hope it's not as close as 2000, but it could be. It could be. The good news, what we've seen, is our voter registration efforts have us really closing the gap between the registered Democrats and the registered Republicans. We've been aggressive about it, and we're going to continue in that way.
His favorability rating isn't so high, and it's not looking so good. So what do you think he's going to turn around?
We're going to have to – it's up to us to get the message out, who Mitt Romney the man is, the father, the husband, the person beyond the corporate executive. But we also need to own Mitt Romney, the corporate executive, and tell that story, because ultimately 24 million people don't have a job right now. They don't have a job right now. I mean, and that President Obama is the president of the United States.
We're going to hear from Paul Ryan tonight. What's your take on his budget plan?
The budget plan will be Mitt Romney's budget plan. Paul Ryan was a bold choice, and he was the right choice because he had the courage to come out with a solution.
And I'm going to level with you. We don't have that much time. But if we are serious and smart and we lead, we can do this. After 4 years of government trying to divide up the wealth, we will get America creating wealth again. With tax fairness and regulatory reform, we'll put government back on the side of men and women who create jobs and the men and women who need jobs. My mom started a small business, and I've seen what it takes. Mom was 50 when my dad died. She got on a bus every weekday for years and rode 40 miles each morning to Madison. She earned a new degree and learned new skills to start her small business. It wasn't just a new livelihood. It was a new life. And it transformed my mom from a widow in grief to a small businesswoman whose happiness wasn't just in the past. Her work gave her hope. It made our family proud. And to this day, my mom is my role model. Behind every small business, there's a story worth knowing. All the corner shops in our towns and cities, the restaurants, cleaners, gyms, hair salons, hardware stores, these didn't come out of nowhere. A lot of heart goes into each one. And if small business people say they made it on their own, all they're saying is that nobody else worked 7 days a week in their place. Nobody showed up in their place to open the door at 5 in the morning. Nobody did their thinking and worrying and sweating for them. After all that work and in a bad economy, it sure doesn't help to hear from their president that government gets the credit. What they deserve to hear is the truth. Yes, you did build that.
No solution is perfect, but he came out with a solution. So it says a lot that the vice presidential pick has a plan and the sitting president of the United States doesn't have a plan.
We're here, just to bring this back a bit, in your war room. Another issue that we've dealt with was Tropical Storm Isaac. What was it like dealing with that and the decision to ultimately delay the convention for a day? What were things like in this room, very room that we're sitting in?
Well, there was obviously stress. The first thing to recognize is that a lot of folks see that the convention is a big party. But more than that, it's a business meeting, and it's a business meeting that is to make Mitt Romney the nominee. Campaign finance laws and rules, we can't spend the money we have in the RNC until Mitt Romney's official nominee. So that had to happen this week, regardless of what was going on. Look, Governor Scott showed great leadership. He's the one that stepped up and said, I'm canceling every event Sunday and Monday because Floridians come first. This isn't partisan. I am the governor of the entire state of Florida, and this is what I'm going to do. And from there, the RNC, they canceled the convention, at least for the first day, for Monday, and that was because Rick Scott showed leadership to Floridians.
I was expecting when things subsided, for him to be back on the schedule, but it didn't happen.
Right now, I believe today he's in Palm Beach with flooding and some other areas with flooding, so he's doing his job. I mean, it's so refreshing to see someone that doesn't make hard decisions for political reasons.
Yeah. Back to Marco Rubio, what about his impact on the race? There's been a lot of talk about him being VP and not seeing that not happen. Just taking it in stride, moving on.
Yeah, Marco said from the beginning that he wasn't seeking to be the Vice President of the United States, and Governor Romney made his decision based on what was before him, and I think Paul Ryan was the right choice. Marco Rubio is a powerful voice for Florida and will be instrumental in us carrying the state of Florida. I mean, you saw him when we talked about the hecklers at his speech. Marco just has a way about him, not only communicating, but being able to handle any situation with ease, and he's fluid.
Charlie Crist.
I'm glad you asked.
We can't go beyond, hey, he was the governor for this great state, and now he has announced that he's endorsing the president. How do you feel about that?
Well, here's what I would ask the president of the United States, President Barack Obama. You talk about a war on women. Charlie Crist is on the record being further to the right on abortion than George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Charlie Crist has said the only exception for abortion would be if the mother's life is in danger. So, I don't know. Maybe President Obama's the man that's endorsing him has a war on women.
Do you think he's setting himself up to run for something? What do you make of him leaving your party?
He has said that our party left him. Well, that's nonsense based on his record. As I mentioned, his position on abortion to the right of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. He's pro-gun. He's anti-gay marriage. He's anti-civil union. These are all his words. He's anti-Obamacare. These are his words. He left the Republican Party because he looked at some poll and he thought that he was most likely to win the Senate race being an NPA. It was a political decision, and it appears to me that he's trying to reinvent himself politically, either to run for office or, who knows, maybe he just likes seeing his name in the news and on billboards. We see his name all over the billboards for Morgan & Morgan.
Do you hold that against him as a strategy, a political strategy, to make a move to see, like, okay, ultimately, this is what's going to get me elected, so I better make this move, and maybe I'll jump back? But is that like a stab in the back, or do you think you should just hold off, win it on your own grounds with your own party?
Well, I just want to we want to make sure that the Democrats understand what they're getting in Charlie Crist, because I care outside of politics, I care about the state of Florida. And look, if Charlie Crist is not a Democrat now, there's some speculation as to whether or not he'll become one. But if the party, if voters in the primaries of the Democratic Party or even the base want to embrace someone that is pro-life, pro-gun, anti-gay marriage, anti-civil union, okay, that's their opportunity and their choice. Sounds a heck of a lot like the Republican Party to me, though. Charlie Crist is trying to reinvent himself. Well, let me back up. Charlie Crist has not changed. He has not gone on the record of changing his positions at this point in time. Mm-hmm. He's endorsed Barack Obama. I don't know how he endorses Barack Obama, though, when he spoke against Obamacare, when he spoke against many of the Obama policies when he was running for the U.S. Senate.
All right, back to Florida. Like, you know, it's here, this great state, the convention. This is my first convention.
Yeah.
It's a big party. It's fun. It is. And seeing all these people and their important speeches, what do you want people to walk away knowing about Florida? And was it, do you think, Florida will get over the mishaps with Isaac and putting the schedule back? Will we have a convention here in the future?
You know, someone asked me yesterday, will we ever have a convention here with the heat and hurricanes? Interesting note is that Hillsborough County has called every presidential election since 1960 with the exception of one. So that's still a pretty strong case to have a convention in the state of Florida. Yeah, we'll get past the hurricane can't control the weather. But what I hope people, what we hope people come away from this convention knowing is a couple of things. I mentioned before Mitt Romney, the man and the person, but also some of the things Chris Christie talked about last night, and that is that we're going to tell the truth. People are craving the truth. And that also, in fact, senior citizens are not selfish people. They get it. They want a Medicare to be there for the next generation. And to stick our head in the sand and ignore it is not a solution. We want people to know we're going to tell the truth, and we're going to offer a viable solution.
So a convention might be back. You got to do a lot of convincing.
Will it be back in my lifetime? I don't know. I might be an old man at that point. But I think there's still a case to have a convention here in Florida. I mean, look, the probability of a hurricane and tropical storm coming at this point in time was very low. They ran models. But anytime there's – look, even a 1% probability of something in life can happen. It happened. Now, the good news is the fact that it happened this time, it's highly unlikely it'll happen again.
So here's your chance to appeal to the public what the Republican Party is all about.
The Republican Party is not a perfect party. I'm not a Republican because we're perfect. But we are the party at this moment in time and in this moment in history that is closest to chasing the American dream, that says that everyone should have an opportunity, that every child should be in their backyard or in their living room dreaming about playing in the NFL, being an artist or a writer or a mathematician, whatever it is, they ought to have big dreams and really believe that they can achieve those dreams. The America has seemed to lose that over the last decade or so, and I think the Republican Party, this is what we stand for. This is what we want people to know, and this is what we have to connect to all demographics and economic backgrounds.
And the critics out there saying that how you're beholden to corporate interests and not looking out for the middle class or the working class. What do you say to them?
I say that both parties need to sit down and have a serious conversation about the influence of lobbying and big money. Both parties take it. It's part of winning elections. And we care about the middle class. We care about the working class. And we just have to have a serious conversation about the influence of lobbying, Republicans and Democrats.
But why are you guys getting the rap for this?
I don't know. Wall Street was all over President Obama last time. And he gave him a heck of a lot of money, too.
Yeah. Final thoughts as we wrap up here. We're here. Your war room is pretty quiet. I guess everybody's out working.
Yeah, everybody's working right now, just getting ready for another night. And I'm hoping actually some people are getting a little bit of rest because it's been pretty intense. It's been some late nights.
Yeah. And tomorrow night is the night. Accepting the speech or seeing Mitt Romney accept his nomination. What are you looking forward to after?
A bump, just from a practical standpoint, a bump in the polls. But really something that goes beyond that. There'll be people watching the speech, and you want them to walk away energized. But you want the speech to be a speech that resonates around the water cooler in the neighborhood and the churches, where someone that didn't see the speech hears the conversation about the speech. That is a speech that has legs that will move us beyond Labor Day after Labor Day is when the real fight begins.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me here on It's About Florida. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you to our guest, Lenny Curry with the Republican Party of Florida. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our producer is Lynn Hatter with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week as we head to Charlotte, North Carolina for the Democratic National Convention. Tune in for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.